Hey, everybody. Welcome to the People's Cup. I'm going to be your host, Kim. My name is Ray. And today I'm joined here with a new friend of mine. Would you like to introduce yourself, bro?
Yeah. So my name's Dominic Maestas. Know you through Jarrett Tigges. He's one of my really good friends. I know he's your friend as well. He's been on a couple times. So excited to be here.
Yeah, dude. Jarrett Tigges has been on a couple times, man. Talked about kind of his business mind and the real estate world. And then he actually the one who reached out to me and said, hey, man, you should interview my buddy. And I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good idea. And then I looked into you and I was like, holy shit. So you know a lot of my other friends. You know, like Richard Ayala.
Yep.
I've known that guy since I was preschool. And I also followed like your business with your, we'll talk about that a little later. But
absolutely.
All that stuff, man, it's cool. How was your day today, bro?
It was good. Good day. So we got a van delivered for my business yesterday.
I did see that. How's that?
It's good. It's a lot going on to try to get it out as soon as possible. You know, we have to do the wraps on it.
Yeah,
do some of the customization on it, get it registered. So just a lot of busy work once these vans come in to, you know, start to finish, try to get it done as soon as we can.
What's the van for?
So the van's for my business, Pop's Italian Ice.
Yeah, but like, what are you guys doing with the van?
So it's part of the business. The vans go out to different parks. They go to schools, go to sporting events. They sell our Italian Ice there. This will actually be our eighth van that we got delivered. So we're excited to get it on the road.
Cool, man. Cool. Today was actually a little bit of a rest day. I've been grinding a couple overtime at my normal job. Shot 9 holes. Shot terribly.
Oh, wow.
But hey, man, just out there shooting the shit, smoking some stoogies and drinking, having a great time out there. But other than that, man, I've been looking forward to this podcast. Sorry I had to push it back a couple times. My fiance had something in mind last time, so that's what really threw us off. So I appreciate you being flexible.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man, dude. But on the People's Cup, we drink what the people want to drink, man. I reached out to our good friend here, and he wanted to drink good old whiskey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a Pendleton. It's out there in Oregon. It's pretty solid, man. It's what they drink on Yellowstone. That's kind of why I bought it not too long ago. But let's cheers to that, man. I have it on the rocks. Hope it's good for you.
Absolutely. No, it's great. It's got a good taste.
Man, whiskey puts some fucking hair on your chest, dude. It fucking wakes you up, buddy. It wakes you up, man.
It does.
But all right, guys, let's get into the nitty-gritty of it, man. So this is episode, shit, I already forgot. I believe
it's 75.
Yeah. This is episode 75, The Art of the Grind. I hope you guys enjoy. And we're back, bro. So, first question I have for you, where did the business Pop's Italian Ice come from?
Yeah, so Pop's itself has actually been around since 1997.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They had a spot up near El Dorado on, I believe it was Eubank in Montgomery. So they've been around for quite a bit. The owner was actually deciding to sell. They were closing the business down. And I had been going there since I was a kid. My sisters used to take me there. My family used to take me there. I grew up not too far from there. So we'd go there often in the summer. So the opportunity just kind of came up. You know, he was selling the business, and me and two other business partners jumped on it. So we decided to pretty much buy the assets of the business, buy all the recipes.
Yeah.
And instead of going the route with the store, we decided to turn it into the mobile units of the food trucks.
Mm.
It was a lot quicker for us just to kind of get going.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot less expense to market to actually get into those. And it really revolutionized the business model for us. We were able to go to the people instead of, you know, waiting for people to come into our store. And that's pretty much where we got the idea from. Like I said, it's been around. We kept the same recipe since 1997. And now just kind of figuring out how we can scale it more and more.
Yeah, for sure, man. So is the original building still there? Over there, it's by Sonic, right?
It is, yeah. It's actually a dispensary now.
Oh, shit, so it's not even there anymore.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not there, and it was a little bit awkward. You know, the first year or two, people kept going there, and they'd call us, and they'd say, you know, I'm at your location, but it's a dispensary. So they were taking their kids to a dispensary, and it just wasn't a good look. But
shit, man. Well, man, it fucking happened, dude.
It does.
Well, that's sweet, man. Let's. So what's your background in? Where did you went to UNM, I'm guessing?
So I actually went to La Cueva High School. I'll just give you a background of kind of my growing up, my
upbringing. For sure.
So I grew up here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Went to La Cueva High School. My parents were both entrepreneurs, so they owned their businesses. Since I was young, you know, I'd watch them, how they'd operate, how they conduct themselves.
Yeah.
The work that they do. And, you know, at dinner, we'd talk about business. You know, we'd have dinner every night as a family and
figure it out.
We'd discuss entrepreneurship, discuss the hurdles throughout the day, discuss what's going on. So I picked up a lot on this stuff. And when I was in high school, I was just super, super excited to work, super motivated. So, I mean, even since I think I was 14 years old, I was going to the flea market with my dad, and he'd take me to buy stuff, and I'd resell it on Craigslist. Eventually graduated to mowing lawns, so I kind of had like a lawn cutting business maybe at about 15, 16 years old. And then from there, I got into flipping cars. So I'd buy cars on Craigslist, clean them up, really just market them better. I wouldn't fix them up a ton. I would just clean them up, post some better pictures, present it better to the customer. And that's really where I got like some sales experience, baseline entrepreneurship, just flipping these cars. And before I knew it, I mean, I think by the end of high school, I probably flipped close to 70 cars that I'd buy on Craigslist or buy off the side of the street. Yeah, and it was really interesting. So with that, I bought my first property when I was 18.
Nice.
Just a single family home that I had as a rental for a bit. Actually just sold that one last year.
Nice. But,
yeah, that's kind of a little bit basic background of how I got into entrepreneurship.
So did you go to college?
I did not. Yeah,
you did not go to college. Okay.
Yeah, I did go to C&M for a year. I took courses I was interested in. So I took real estate. I took accounting. Took business introduction, real estate law.
Yeah, you don't need college in your kind of career field at all.
No, I had straight A's. I just went to community college. I went to C&M, and I had straight A's there. But I was just kind of too eager to get to work. You know, I'd be spending time in the classroom and. Just thinking about a million other things.
Yeah, but other ways to make money, dude.
Exactly.
That's what a lot of people don't realize, man, is that there is money to be made, dude. Like in a lot of aspects of just anything, you know, like real estate, you know, entrepreneurship, marketing. Like there is money out there to be made.
Absolutely. And
that's why it's, I don't want to shy people away from like college and be like, but hey, you also don't need it to be successful in any means at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely serves its purpose. And of course, there's career fields that, you know, college is definitely necessary, but. My dad, you know, he didn't go to college, and I've seen kind of what he was able to build without college and just hard work. And, you know, obviously it's a difficult path too, but, just seeing that kind of motivated me more and kind of gave me that spirit. So yeah.
What kind of business do they have?
My dad at the time had a telecommunications business.
Okay.
So they would do audits for different school districts of their telecommunication utilities, telephone lines, networking, things like that. He's owned several other businesses throughout his career and since then, but,
yeah.
He's getting a little bit older now, so they're focusing on traveling a bit more.
Rightfully so. Which you guys are pretty big travelers, right? I just saw you guys were out there in Cancun, right? Or
We were in Tulum.
Tulum,
yes.
Well, yeah. Same thing. How was that, man?
It was awesome. It was beautiful out there.
Where else you guys been to?
We've been to Brazil. We went to Belize. We're planning to go to Spain and Mallorca coming up.
That's sick, man.
No, it's fun. Yeah, I think now's a kind of a golden time to take advantage of traveling.
Dude, I agree. I think right now when you're young and you have the funds to do so, you might as well just go out there and experience some fucking shit, man. Chelsea and I have been out there a couple times. We've been to Europe many times. Not many times. I shouldn't say many times. We went twice. We went to Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, France, and Poland.
How is Switzerland? That's one I've always wanted to go to.
Dude, Switzerland, that's where I actually proposed. It's beautiful, man. It's a different world. It's just completely different. Like you're embraced by their like the beauty of the landscape. They're really green, like I'm like both physically and like energy wise. Like Absolutely. They focus on like we like so the water that's running straight through the city. It's a giant river. Like you like the water that you drink comes from the river.
Wow.
And it's fucking clean. Like it's the best water you could have. And then you always see people like. Doing way more commuting, like bikes, running. They take the ferry, like, and they're just so focused on like green energy, which is really cool to see.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was interesting, but the landscape, man, it was interesting, man. Just going on these giant mountain ridges, you're like, holy fuck, we're way the fuck out here. And it was actually not a bad country because the majority of everyone spoke English, so we kind of got around pretty good. But no, Switzerland was cool, man. But my favorite country out there was. Probably Poland, dude.
Poland
was sick, bro. I'm not going to lie. Poland is also very pretty. I'm just kind of I don't want to say a big fan because it sounds really fucking weird. But I'm really interested in World War II.
Yeah.
I think World War II is something that's like so fascinating. And people think it was a long time ago, but it really wasn't. And X, Y, and Z. But on my bucket list, I want to go to Auschwitz. In Poland. I really want to go. And so we went. We did the tour. It was fucking amazing. It was awesome. And then... one American dollar was 4 Polish dollars, whatever they call them. And so you're living like a fucking king out
wow.
there. Yeah, so we go eat. Chelsea would be ordering fucking appetizers, all kinds of shit. And it'd be like 30 bucks. And you don't have to tip
incredible.
Out there. Yeah, and it was sick, dude. Poland was sick. Poland was sick.
I'll have to add that to my list.
Did you guys go to Dubai with Jarrett?
I didn't go with him there. That's actually one of my bucket lists that I haven't been. And honestly, I'm kind of purposely delaying Dubai. I want to go there when I can afford to do it the right way and do it the way I want to.
Dubai's wild, bro.
It is.
I totally understand where you're coming from. So talk about a little bit of real estate, man. You bought your first rental property when you were 18. Talk about the growing pains of all that and kind of like, holy shit, I made money on this. Or holy shit, I'm struggling here, X, Y, and Z, because I totally understand all the rentals.
Yeah, that was that one wasn't too bad. You know, it was a single family unit. I had one tenant, one single tenant that I was managing, and I had her there for almost 5 years. She was a great tenant.
Shit, that's awesome.
Super easy. Yeah, I honestly got super lucky because I've heard horror stories about it too. You know, Jared's super big in real estate. My brother's big in real estate. They actually own a company together.
Oh, nice.
And then my dad, you know, he had some real estate, so I picked up a lot from him as well. Now I'm trying to be a little bit more passive with the real estate in regards to not me, you know, actually acquiring the deals and managing them. Want to partner more with Jared and kind of let them handle it. You know, they find the deals, they manage it. That way I can kind of focus on my business a bit more and some of the other income sources.
Yeah, because you have two businesses, right?
Yes, so Pop Pops is kind of my main business and my primary focus. I also co-own a company with my buddy Mungie. We do exotic snack distribution. Yeah, mm-hmm. So you know Mungie, yeah, we do exotic snack distribution. We sell exotic snacks, you know, imported from all around the world.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we sell them at Pop Pops. He sells them at his shop too. And then we're starting to sell to other shops, wholesaling them here in town. And then also across the U.S., we have a website for wholesale.
How do you guys get your hands on this fucking random ass snacks? I've seen the overseas shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, honestly, that's all Mungie. He's got connections. He's got sources. I kind of let him handle the sourcing of everything. So
I know Mungie went to the Cueva, but is he originally from America or?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Someone's not, right?
His family isn't. Yeah, but no, he's from America. And yeah, no, he's been one of my best friends since middle school, him and Jarrett. So
yeah, they're good dudes, bro.
Circle.
They're really good dudes. I remember him for basketball a little bit growing up.
Yep.
I haven't seen him in a long time, but I do remember Mungie. Jarrett's fucking awesome. But that's all sick, dude. So how do you guys, how do you make that business like your rate of return? How is your rate of return on that business?
Absolutely. So for us, it's a very seasonal business, and that's something that we are working on in regards to Pop Pops. And so, you know, obviously in the summer we kill it. It's great. Yeah. It's super busy. Trucks are selling out. But in wintertime, that changes. There's not events going on in winter, for one. Obviously, we're not selling Italian ice when it's snowing. It's a little bit tough, too. So we're trying to find different things we can utilize our vans for. You know, we have these vans sitting in the back there. So we have a couple creative things that we're working on currently that hopefully we can deploy for this winter season. I think, you know, my goal with the business, too, you know, a lot of people with food trucks, they get one food truck, and that's kind of their whole goal with the business. They just want one food truck instead of working for someone else. They have this truck, and they can operate it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know, even coming into this business, I want a bigger scale. You know, I want to have 100 and then eventually 1,000 trucks. And, you know, I want to be the sole owner, you know, or us as a company. You know, we want to own all of them instead of franchising them. And the reason for that is, you know, for example, if we were to franchise, every 10 trucks we franchise is equivalent to one of our trucks that we own in regards to the profit return that we get.
Okay.
And, you know, we don't have to deal with all the headaches and all the legality of franchising. So trying to keep it focused. Of course, there's other downfalls of that. It's really capital intensive when you're not franchising. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It makes it.
Oh, dude, 1,000%.
Growth sucks capital.
Would you ever think about, like, kind of scaling out of Albuquerque, even New Mexico a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. So that's kind of on the radar in the next year or two.
Okay.
We have two more trucks on order, so we'll be at 10 trucks here in Albuquerque, hopefully by the end of the year. And I think that's kind of capped for New Mexico.
Makes sense.
For Albuquerque, at least. With that, you know, we want to start scaling out possibly to Arizona, Texas, Nevada, and then eventually California. If we can cover the Southwest, I mean, I'd be beyond happy, you know, just sporting events.
Of course, dude.
I think there's plenty of business there.
Oh, dude, you go out to Phoenix. We lived in Phoenix for a little bit, and it was fucking hot every fucking day. So, I mean, Italian ice sounds fucking awesome. Yeah, that's cool, man. Thinking about just growing your business on a bigger scale, man. But now I don't want this podcast just to be like all the good shit about this shit, which is fucking awesome, obviously. But what have your struggles been?
Oh, there's been a ton of them. Yeah.
If you don't mind sharing, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's really the one thing that's kind of hidden about entrepreneurship. You know, everyone just sees all the good
parts
glory,
of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't see all the late hours. And I think every year, you know, as we grow, there's different struggles and maybe a bit, I don't know if they're easier struggles or if we've just gotten used to dealing with them better. But, you know, the first year, you know, we were working 14, 16 hour days. You know, we'd be the ones making the flavor, manning the truck, doing the marketing, doing every little part of the business. And then after we'd work a late event, we'd be there in the trailer making flavor all over again for the next day. Oof. And, you know, yeah, so it was brutal. I mean, there's been so many mistakes in the business, and I think that's part of business, you know, is making mistakes. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. It's part of life in general. But
mistakes are good, man.
Yeah, and we still make them every day. You know, we're learning every day. I think processes is the biggest thing with business, and especially as you start to scale. If you have good processes, systems, you know, that can really enable scaling. And if you don't, you know, it can really hurt you as well.
Yeah.
So we're working on refining those as much as we can.
Well, that's good, dude. Simplifying. That's fucking awesome, man. Dude, the mistakes that people have, it's kind of a make or break thing, man. You know, like we look at like the bigger scales, and I know this is probably cliche to say, but like look at like Walt Disney, right? Like they said his ideas were fucking stupid.
Absolutely.
And he made various mistakes when he was growing up. But obviously, look at what it's at now.
Yeah.
You know, like I think if you let yourself be put down by other people, you will never see what potential you could actually kind of have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I dealt with that a lot kind of in the earlier, in the first year or two. You know, I actually had a job doing tech sales and I was making very good money. I was making six figures.
Yeah.
I think probably 19 or 20 years old. And when I told them, you know, that I was leaving the job to go essentially start an ice cream truck, I remember one guy specifically told me, he's like, "You're insane." He laughed at me and he's like, "You're crazy." He's like, "That'll never work."
Do you still think about it today?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's motivation, and I know I probably shouldn't, but
should, bro. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I'm very passionate. I use that as fuel.
I'm the same way, dude. I use this one particular story as fuel, and I'll share it, man. So, growing up, I had this one of my best friends. You know, I'll leave it. He'll be nameless, but he was one of my best friends.
Yep.
Growing up in high school, I know him in middle school, high school. We went to camping with each other. Like we were really tight. And growing up, I wasn't the best at school. You know, it's not that I wasn't like dumb. I just didn't really care about it.
Of course.
I was like, I'm gonna do the bare minimum, just get by. I was really focused on sports. Just if I could go back, I would do it completely different. But anyways, this individual's mom was the principal of our school.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And she was able to see our test scores, you know, and see like the way we were performing, like academically. And my buddy and I one time got in a massive fight. We were on the stairs of our house. I remember, or my house growing up. I was on the top stairs, on the bottom. We were arguing with each other. And he hit me with the one-liner that I never could come back from, bro. And he said, "My mom sees your test scores, and she feels bad for your future."
Oh, my goodness.
And it just fucking tore me up, dude. Tore me up. So growing up, bro, throughout nursing school, get my bachelor's, get my master's, buying my first rental property, buying this rental property, it just continues the fuel, bro. Like, just that I am where I'm at now and I'm continuing to go further, it ignites me. It's weird. I can't explain it. And it just burns something in me. And I love sharing this story to you because it's like, look at where I'm at now. You know,
absolutely.
This is not a bad future. This is a great future. And I am thankful that you lit this fucking fire under my ass because now I'm about it, man.
Yeah,
you
know, I love that.
I continue want to grow, bro. I'm trying to grow this podcast a little bit, but this is kind of like my side gig. But I'm continuing in the real estate world. Nursing is going great. Are you into crypto at all?
I'm not.
You're not a crypto guy. I'm a huge crypto guy. So I like to have my portfolio kind of diverse.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where I'm trying to like really focus on. You know, I have, like I said, these properties in the crypto, into stocks a little bit, but I'm also looking for ways just to continue to like be diverse in multiple parts of everything. If that makes sense.
I love that. Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I think, you know, having that feel is good to have and have that story to fall back on and just kind of keep motivating you and keep pushing you because it gets hard. I mean,
dude, you're in shape, bro. How do you get yourself amped up when you go to the gym, man?
You know, it used to be a motivation thing, but now it's become more of a discipline thing that, you know, I've gotten so routine with it that it's almost hard for me not to go to the gym. You know, I'm upset when I don't go to the gym.
Yeah. You feel like you have an off day.
Yeah. And I have a whole routine with the gym, and you know, at the end of the gym, I get in the sauna and I meditate. I meditate for 15 to 20 minutes. After that I do visualization for 10 to 15 minutes. And I just visualize myself, my business. I visualize where I want to be in 5 to 10 years. I just close my eyes and think about, you know, what car I'm getting into, what house I'm waking up into,
yep,
what wife I have waking up next to me. And I just keep visualizing these things and just kind of understanding my vision a bit more. And it helps me actually picture where I want to go and have clear-cut goals.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, so recently I've gotten really into private equity and understanding private equity quite a bit.
Okay.
So I want to get more involved with that realm down the road. That might be closer to 10 years out.
So I understand private equity, but for the listeners who don't, what is private equity?
Yeah. So in the aspect I'm talking about it, it's essentially buying a business. You know, think about it in terms of real estate. You know, you buy a property that's maybe distressed, you rehab it, and then you sell that property.
Yep.
With business, I kind of want to do something similar. And I almost think that's what we've done with Pop Pops. You know, we bought a business that was distressed. It was going out of business. We've rehabbed it, implemented new systems,
a
new
bad
business
idea.
Model.
I never thought about that in the business aspect.
And then now we eventually we'll exit. I'm not saying we want to exit anytime soon, but eventually we'll exit. And you know, with business, they can sell for a multiple of profit. So let's say a business is doing $100,000 in profit. That business, depending on the industry, can sell for a 3 to 5x multiple.
Yeah.
So it could be, you know, 300,000 to 500,000, or even on a bigger scale, if you're doing $1 million in profit. That company is more rare because less companies are doing $1 million in profit. So that could be a 5 to 7x multiple, depending on the industry.
And that would be guaranteed sell because it's just producing revenue.
Absolutely.
Day in, day out. You know what I'm saying?
You know, especially if you have consistent growth and scalability, if you have a proven track record, you have good reviews, you know, you have good systems in place, and eventually, you know, if it can be an absentee owner, that's even more valuable because whoever buys it, they're not having to actively manage it.
Yeah.
You know, they have managers, they have employees, they have people running the show.
They're just buying it to make money.
Exactly.
And they have the money to do
it. It's another sort of asset. Instead of, you know, a rental property, it's a business.
Yep. I know what you're saying, man. So with the rental properties, what I'm trying to do kind of in my future, man. So I have a Rio Rancho property that I bought for pretty cheap. And the people who lived there lived the past 15 years.
Wow.
They're not living. They're not moving out.
No, that's great.
I'm letting them stay. I have not rehabbed it one bit. I bought it for fairly cheap. And then I refinanced it last year, pulled out around 40.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good equity. I pulled out around 40, and then I moved it into this house slash somebody to buy Chelsea's rink. And it's good, you know, that I'm still making positive cash flow on it, but now I'm trying to get into more of like the vacation rentals and the Airbnbs because I'm for one, I'm a travel nurse. I'm not sure if you knew that. I traveled multiple places. I've been all over the country, and we paid rent.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
In Kansas City, man, we were paying $2,500 a month for a one-bedroom house. It was in a great spot, you know? And I asked the girl, I was like, hey, how often are you booked out? You know what I'm saying? And she was like, oh, we're booked out all the fucking time.
Wow.
She said, we know what travel nurses make, and we know what you're willing to pay. And we were right in that sweet spot. And I'm like, interesting. And so I looked at the New Mexico scale, right? And so if you look about it, every hostel that I've been to, Kansas City, North Carolina, Phoenix, Dallas, even here, they're building new towers. They're building brand new, shiny new towers to house 800 plus patients, right? But what's so interesting is they don't have the staff to do that. And so what are they going to do to bring in the staff? Is there going to be a influx of travel nurses coming through in Albuquerque in about maybe like a year? Because UNM is opening in that massive fucking tower. Yeah. It is huge, bro.
Massive.
And the only way they're going to staff it is with travel nurses. And so all the influx coming in, so that's why I'm trying to make my timeline kind of match up here. We want to be out of this house probably by December, maybe January. And then I want to be up and running for travel nurses just to come in here, stay for 3 months, and get out. 3 months, get out. 3 months, get out. 3 months, get out. It's close to the hospital. It's close to all these assets. That's kind of the reason why I bought it. But another reason is because when you rent to professionals like that, they, for one, won't fuck up your shit.
Yeah, and two, take care of it.
Yeah, and two, they'll take care of it. And two, you know they have the money if they do fuck up some shit. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of gives you a little bit of an ease, you know? Because sometimes I stay up late at 9, man, and I worry about, like, squatters. It eats me up, bro. I'm, like, taking notes of, like, these little, like, tips and tricks that I find how to get people out, man. But that's what I want to do, man, because I want to have a bunch of properties, and my plan is to basically just have them pay off my mortgage. You know what I mean? Have them pay off the mortgage, and then X amount of years, when Chelsea and I are like, you know, we should probably sell our portfolio and just focus on living life. That's kind of my plan.
Of course. No, yeah. I like that. That's a great plan. And yeah, I think that's a good niche to be into.
Dude.
You know, you can command, like you said, you know, it's good tenants. You can command a higher rent. I think it's a very good sweet spot.
It's a good sweet spot, man. I'm just trying to balance like that nursing, podcasting, having fun with my friends, and like the mix of everything, you know. And plus, Chelsea and I are trying to plan a wedding, which is a fucking disaster in itself, dude. I'm telling you about it.
I can't imagine.
If you can get a property and you fucking build a nice barn and a chapel for people to have weddings, you make fucking money, bro. We toured a wedding venue up north in New Mexico, bro. $30,000 just for the day.
Oh my god.
Which isn't bad, honestly. But it's bad. But I thought that included like food, you know, alcohol, a DJ. I thought it included everything. That's on like $30,000. That's not terrible. I probably wouldn't do it, but it's still not terrible.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, that's just for the day. Like,
just to rent the property.
You got to get your food. You got to get the drinks. And I'm like, fuck this, dude. And it sucks because Chelsea fell in love with that place. And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not paying here, bro. No, you're fucking crazy. So Chelsea and I found a nice little place in Hawaii. We think it'd be more, but actually we're about maybe 15 in.
Wow.
So it's not terrible. And we're pretty much almost done planning it.
That's
so
good.
It's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck Northern New Mexico's thinking, man. It was crazy shit, bro. I was astonished.
No, it's true. My parents, this is actually going to be their 50th year anniversary coming up this year, man. In August. Yeah.
Kudos to your parents, bro. That's awesome,
yeah,
dude.
No, it's awesome. No, they're the best. But yeah, they've been talking about finding different venues too, and they were telling me the prices of some of these places, and I was mind blown.
Bro, sorry,
like,
dude.
I'm in the wrong business.
Are you in a relationship now?
I'm not currently.
You're not,
no,
dude.
No.
Get fucking ready, bro, because when you find someone, they're gonna want an expensive ass wedding, bro. Your pockets are gonna hurt, dude. It's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
It's gonna be rough, man. So, we probably have a little bit of time for this next question before our break. I'm curious on Business Minds. I asked Gary the same question. Where do you think the market, the economy is going, and how are you preparing yourself for the worst?
Yeah, absolutely. So luckily with my business, it's not super dependent on the economy. You know, it's not like a super high ticket item. So I can't say I worry about it a ton. You know, of course with real estate and stuff like that.
Real estate is different.
It's a bit all over the place. It's hard to actually pinpoint what's going on. I'm not going to act like I'm a professional in that, and I have no idea what's going to happen. I think if rates do drop down, I think real estate's going to increase tremendously.
You mean the price?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's one thing to look out for. But I think with me, I kind of have an even mindset across everything. You know, regardless of what the economy is going to do, I'm still going to do what I need to do, and I'm still going to succeed in what I need to succeed in. I think about that with everything, you know, regardless of who the president is. I think a lot of people make excuses about why they're not where they want to be. You know, they blame the economy, they blame the president, they blame who knows what events that they can't control. And I think it's really just excuses, you know. For me, I don't do that. You know, I'm going to be successful no matter what. I'm not going to let outside
fucking grind, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're about it, dude. I love it, bro. I love hearing this shit because I'm the same fucking way, bro. I am the same fucking way. I believe in hard work.
Yep.
I believe in fucking believing in yourself and betting on yourself, dude. 100%. I have so many friends that I'm not really friends with anymore that just, they blame the economy. They blame the fucking, the system. And I'm like, dude, you just got to go out there and fucking get it. You know, there is money to be made, and hard work, that as like a character for one, is so valuable, bro.
Definitely.
So valuable. And so like, I'm not sure if you noticed, but people outside, they're pulling my weeds right now. So I don't have time to pull weeds because I'm fucking working to shit them over time for the wedding. But so I found these people in the Nextdoor app, right? I went into the Nextdoor app. I said, hey guys, I need my yard pulled. My front yard pulled. I'll pay you whatever, you know, X amount of money. And they came, you know, they contacted me and they came. And when they pulled up in like this janky car, you know, and I was like, they're a little sketchy looking people. And they came out and they're like, no, Ray, like we're homeless.
Yeah.
We're homeless.
Wow.
But we want to work for our stuff. And it like fucking got me so inspired, dude.
That's incredible.
I was like, fuck yeah, bro. You're not on the side of the street begging.
Yeah.
You're out here fucking working for your shit. And so I paid them, bought them lunch. And I said, you know what? I need the whole fucking yard done. Go ahead. I'll triple your money.
That's awesome.
I said, do the whole yard. And I'm not trying to like say like I'm like the savior or anything, but like I'm just saying, like, if you have hardworking character, it will be shown.
Oh, 100%.
In the craziest ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with that completely. And you know, even it's like seeing someone on the side of the road begging for money versus someone on the side of the
fuck
road
that,
offering to wash windows, even, you know, doing some type of service or work. You know, I always give them money if they're actually working for it.
Yeah, bro. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. We're about to take a break, bro. But like, I'm the same way, dude. Like, I used to have empathy for like panhandlers. I really did.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But as a nurse, you see these people who come in with these wounds that are fucking infected to the maxes. And they come in here to the hospitals and they treat the staff like shit. They treat the doctors like shit, the nurses like shit, and they want everything on their fucking dime because they're fucking assholes.
Yep.
They are. And I'm like, man, like, this is fucking wild. And they, you know what's so crazy is they know that. They know the system, bro. They know the healthcare they're getting is free. They know all this shit that they're doing has no repercussions. And it fucking blows my mind, bro. And so I'm going to share the rest of the story after this break.
All right. All right.
Here's some words from our sponsors, guys, Pit Boss Logistics and Spartan Jerky, man. Hope you guys enjoy. Peace. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup. This podcast is sponsored by Pit Boss Logistics. Pit Boss Logistics is a car transportation business based out of there in Frisco, Texas. They make sure that your personal vehicles and or your business vehicles are transported safely and in pristine condition. The People's Cup podcast has used them countless of times and will continue to use them for years to come. They make sure that your needs are met. Tell them the People's Cup podcast sent you and they take care of you. Anytime, any place. Pit Boss Logistics. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the People's Cup podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Spartan Jerky. Spartan Jerky is a great snack to snack on whether you're hitting the gym, hunting, fishing, hitting 18 holes on the course, and or just hanging out outside. It's a great source of protein, and it has none of the preservatives and chemicals that you see in a lot of other big name brands. Spartan Jerky is based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can find them on Amazon and or my Instagram. Check them out. Snack like a warrior. Spartan Jerky. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the show. Peace. Hey, everybody. This podcast is sponsored by Pop Pop's Italian Ice. Pop Pop's Italian Ice is local to the Albuquerque metro area. They have a wide variety of frozen Italian ice and some pretty cool imported exotic snacks. Go ahead and check them out and tell them the People's Cup sent you. They'll take care of you. Pop Pop's Italian Ice. Always good on a hot day. Thanks. And we're back, man. So back to what I was saying, dude. So I had this one patient one time come in time. So working in Albuquerque, New Mexico, before we started traveling, you deal with a lot of IV drug users. Yep. You know, a lot of them. And they come in here, bro, and they're fucking mean. They cuss you out. They're just the fucking worst, bro. And every nurse who says, like, oh, you know, like, they don't understand. Like, fuck that. They know exactly what they're doing, bro. They come into the hospital, they treat the staff like shit, and then they expect just to be fucking catered on. Because that's what healthcare is now. Healthcare is a customer service job. All they care about is their perfect scores and reaching the customer service criteria, and it should not be that, bro. If this patient comes in and cusses and hits people, there should be repercussions, bro. And there's not. It's fucking astonishing, man. Like, one time, I had a patient. Oh, I didn't have a patient. I was a charge nurse that night. And this nurse tech came in. She was a girl. She was attractive. You know, she came up and she was like, this guy just grabbed my ass.
Oh, my gosh.
He was catcalling me. He was saying all this sexual shit. And I don't feel comfortable going in there. And so I go in there and I'm like, hey, man, you're going to cut this shit out, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm not the one to tolerate this shit. And I go in there, shut the door. And he was like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And then he stood up. He stood up and got in my face, and he was a little guy. And I told him, I said, bro, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I said, I'm about it. Like, I'm not one of these nurses that's not. I'm about it. And then he backed down, and then we eventually got him kicked out of the hospital for his attitude. But back to what I'm saying, though, those are the people who are begging. Not all of them. I don't want to say that. It's like I'm an asshole. Let me take that statement back. I just think that there's just not repercussions for things in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And maybe I'm going towards the Albuquerque, New Mexico, kind of like shitting on it a little bit, but I just don't think there's repercussions, man. Like, for an example, if I go out right now and I hammer the rest of this bottle for Pendleton and I get pulled over a DWI, bro, I'm out the next day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm out the next day. Yep. No worries. Shit, I'll probably be out in 2 hours, right? But when you go to, like, states that are thriving, and when I say thriving, I mean red states, who take care of their people, take care of the infrastructure, take care of their finances. Texas, Arizona. If you get a DWI in Texas, Arizona, bro, you're kind of fucked for a while. I knew an individual who got a DWI in Texas, and they had to go to prison on the weekends for like 6 months.
Wow.
Because it's such an inconvenience that you don't want to do it anymore. But here, bro, you see people give 8 or 9 DWIs, right? And what sucks, dude, because I'm probably going on a little bit of a rampage here, but Albuquerque, New Mexico, dude, it can be the best, bro. It is such a beautiful place. It has all four seasons.
Yep.
No natural disasters. Great food. The culture here is awesome. But it's just the fact that we're not hard on crime. It's insane to me, bro. It's crazy.
I agree.
Have you ever seen, so that, this is kind of where I'm going with the next question. Have you ever seen kind of the Albuquerque hood culture influence pop-pops at all?
Yeah, of course there's crime. You know, we've had money boxes stolen from our trucks. We've had generators stolen. I think it just goes back to business in general. You know, something goes wrong every single day. You know, you're getting beat up every single day. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. You know, and it's again, I think keeping that level mindset and level head towards everything. You know, of course, our money box getting stolen, I could freak out, I could cry over it and be upset about it, but it's part of business. It's part of life. You know, you have to account. I've had employees stealing from me that I've caught before too. And
dude, really?
You know, of course I just wanted to punch him and beat the shit out of him, but it's, you know, we can't do that as business owners. That's not how we conduct ourselves.
If you don't mind sharing.
Very nonchalantly, you know, we have to go in there and be amicable about the situation and pretty much part our ways. You know, we have no idea. We caught him on camera. We have no idea how much he actually took from us. But, it's part of business. You know, the biggest companies in the world, Walmart, I mean, they have theft from employees every day. They have theft from customers every day.
Bro, they had to shut down the Walmart over here in my Highland High School. They had to shut down because they were like, we're losing too much money with theft. Like, we're not even going to stay open. It's not even worth it anymore. Dude.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a big part of business. Again, going back to my parents, one of the biggest values my mom instilled in me at a young age was, you know, life is 10% what happens and 90% how you react. You know, things are going to happen. Shit's going to go wrong every single day. But if you react to every little thing, you know, you make it a bigger situation than it needs to be.
Yeah.
So that's something I really try to implement into my business, into my personal life every single day to just kind of have a level mindset. Even on the wins, you know, I don't react too happy. I'm not too big on when I win.
It's level-headed, dude.
Exactly.
When I lose,
I'm not too upset. I'm just kind of level because you never know when things could change for good or bad in a heartbeat.
I do know what you're saying, man. I hear you completely. So, do you play poker?
I don't play poker. I play blackjack. I like blackjack.
You understand poker?
I do understand. Okay. Absolutely.
So poker, I'm sure people obviously can be aware or not aware, but the way I look at life is like a poker game. So this is actually a poker table we're sitting on. But so there's 10 players, right? And everyone gets two cards. And you look at your cards. And sometimes you see people who are the trust fund kids, you know, very fortunate individuals, and they have pocket aces. Yeah. The best fucking hand to have in here. They're fucking like, fuck yeah, I'm winning this shit, you know? And 90% of the time they do win the hand. But then you get people who I would say where I'm at, where I had a great childhood. You know, my parents were awesome. I came from a very fortunate household. I never had to worry about like a lot of other people or how a lot of other people did. I say you would get like a Jack 10 of hearts. Yep. You know, like a good hand. You're like, oh, yeah, there's a flush, there's a straight royal flush. There's a lot you could do here. But then you see individuals who get dealt like the shittiest hand. 2-4, 1-6, like the or not one kicks, 2-6, 3-6, right? But the way you play your hand doesn't mean you can't win the game.
Absolutely.
All right. The way you play your hand could win you the game. And if you get these shitty cards and you look at like, oh, I got the shittiest cards, bro. I'm gonna pout. This is the worst. I want everyone to feel sorry for me. You're not gonna win the game.
I don't.
And so I look at it kind of like in that aspect. And it really opens up my mind to like, man, like I do a lot of visualization as well, as like, how can I win at this thing called life, right? And what is winning? Like how does one define winning? Like, and I compare myself to like my family, I compare myself to my grandparents, and I'm like, well, you know what? Like, not trying to throw shade at them, but I want to excel. You know, I want to be the better.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's not a bad mind to have, but how does one do that with, you know, the hands that you're dealt. That makes sense.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, comparison's the thief of all joy too. And
oh, yeah,
social media definitely makes that difficult. And I think I've realized, you know, as I've matured in age and in life, you know, I used to be super about materialistic things. Like, and I'm a big car guy. I love cars.
You got a few cars, right?
Yeah, I've had a few cars. And, you know, I had my first entry-level supercar too. And, you know, that's something I've wanted since I was 13 years old.
You have that?
I don't. I sold that one. I have a couple more cars on order.
Was that the blue and green one?
So I had a Corvette that was yellow and black.
Yellow and black. That's what I'm talking about.
I sold that one. And with these cars, you know, they're really another source of income for me usually. I try to make them into investments. I buy cars that are, you know, either rare cars or cars that I think will hold their value. Even if I don't make money, if I can break even on them and enjoy
it's
them
a win.
For 6 months, it's a win.
What cars hold their value, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, so I think now we're at an interesting time where electric cars are starting to take over. So if you can get, you know, naturally aspirated V10s, V12s, especially in standard and, you know, manual gearbox, most of those are going to hold their value. You know, you may have to hold them for several years. One of the cars that just got teased yesterday was the Corvette ZR1.
Mm-hmm.
This will probably be the last V8 engine that they're going to release. They're probably going to switch to a hybrid of electric.
For Chevy?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
For Chevy.
Interesting.
So I put an allocation in for one of those two, or an order in for one of those. So if the allocation matches up, I'll get one of those. And that's a car I probably won't sell for another 5 or 10 years. Just because it's going. Just to give you an example, the C7 ZR1, I believe they used to sell for maybe around 100,000 when they came out in, I believe it was 2016, 2017. Those cars now, they've appreciated. Some of them are selling for over $300,000-$400,000.
Damn, really?
Just from pure appreciation. It's because they're not making a naturally aspirated V8 anymore with a manual transmission. You know, the new one's not going to have a manual transmission, so it's certain factors that are rare.
That is true.
The Corvette I had in particular was a C8R edition, so it was a racing edition. They only made 1,000 of those, so it's a limited run of cars.
Was it a manual?
That one was not a manual. That was an automatic, but super rare paint color and a spec. And I made some really good money on that. You know, I was able to flip that after driving it for 6 months and made some good money and rolled that into my R8. And I love that car. You know, that was a car I've wanted since I was 12, 13 years old.
And you still have the Audi R8?
I sold that one.
Damn, never mind. You sold
that one too. Yeah, no, I don't hold on to cars long. Try not to get too attached, but I sold that one because I thought my other car was coming in. And it's been over a year and a half now, and the other car still hasn't came in. So,
do you have like a daily, or do you drive your Ford?
I usually drive my truck as my daily. Yeah, just my work truck. I don't drive often, to be honest. Everything is within a mile or 2 mile radius from me. My barbershop, my gym, and my business, all within 2-3 miles, and that's really all I go to. So,
simple life, man. Exactly. Yeah. Good, dude. Yeah, I drive my Ford, man. My truck's outside. Yeah. I love my truck, dude. I'm a Ford guy, man. I'm a truck guy. Also, good thing about pickup trucks, where they hold their value.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, pickup trucks will also, if you don't want to resell, they'll last you 300,000 miles so you fucking burn that fucker to the ground. No, it'll last forever. And what's really interesting about the electric cars that you brought up, so I'm really into stocks right now. And this is not financial advice for everyone who's listening to. I do not want to get fucked over for this. I think Tesla is a perfect time to buy right now, bro. Perfect time. It is not an all-time low, but it's a lot lower than where it was. Like significantly lower. And the reason why, because they had a shitty quarter four earnings. It showed that like Teslas weren't selling as good as the winter, which we know about. The batteries aren't charging as well. People don't want to be outside in their Tesla. You know, they want to drive gas. And so their stock just plummeted. And so I'm saying buy now, because now in the summer and fall, when the Teslas are fucking booming and the Tesla Cybertrucks are out, that stock is going to boom.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think Tesla's a great play. And just seeing what that company's done and what they're continuing to do is incredible. You know, I think it's making it very difficult for competitors in the auto market to compete with them. You know, they have a Model 3 now. You know, with the tax incentives, you can get them for about $25,000 to $30,000.
Well, dude, they have the all-time leader, bro.
Oh, absolutely.
Elon Musk is a fucking whiz, dude.
He's incredible.
He is a whiz. That guy, man, I'm telling you. Sometimes maybe drink a little bit of whiskey or partake in other substances and just watch an Elon Musk interview, and you see the way his mind like flicks. It's fucking astonishing.
Oh,
bro.
It's
astonishing. It's astonishing. And it's, dude, honestly, I really do think it's going to be past our lifetime. We're going to be well dead before this, but so is Elon Musk. But I think he is setting the foundation for us to go live in a different planet.
I
really do, man.
Yeah. No, I think so as well. And I think just the advancements in technology and understanding how quick technology can change and really what he's doing for the industry is crazy.
Bro, SpaceX is amazing.
Oh, it's
incredible. Amazing. So much stuff that I read up on that, man. Like, how do you feel about, like, maybe this is getting a little more conspiracy theory. So how do you feel about like Earth as a whole? Like, do you think it's like all this bullshit about like the Earth is dying is real? Or like, do you think like,
I think there's definitely changes, and I think, you know, I'd be naive to say that there wasn't. Yeah. There's obvious changes that have happened, but I don't necessarily know if that's going to impact me in my lifetime. So honestly, I don't spend a ton of time thinking about
that's it. That's kind of how I feel. And it's kind of fucked up. I'm like, whatever. I don't give a fuck, bro. I'm going to be long dead before that. But it really is, you know, really is. Like, did you grow up in Albuquerque? So
yep.
Dude, do you remember when we were kids? Cause how old are you?
I'm 27.
I'm 27 too.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were kids, bro? The winters we would have, fucking snow that would cover this city.
Insane.
And in the summer, it would maybe get 100 degrees like once or twice, maybe. Now we don't get no snow. Now it's 100 degrees every fucking day in the summer. It's like global warming is showing itself to us in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And how can people not be like, yeah, global warming is not real.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree. And especially being in this business now with it being so seasonal.
Oh yeah,
I really focus on the weather and just seeing the transition over the last 5 years. And, you know, we track our revenues and expenses every month, and just seeing how they've changed. Our revenues have changed over just the last several Februarys, Januarys.
You like it hot, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You fuck it. Fuck yeah. Run that shit, man. So how do you guys choose where you go?
Yeah, so at this point, we have pretty set schedules. Saturdays are obviously our busiest day. That's a lot of sporting events. Sporting events is the biggest thing. We give back a percentage to any sporting events we attend, any schools we attend. We really try to give back to the community as much as we can to give them an incentive to have us out. Obviously, our target market is, you know, pretty much kids, families. So we try to be at every school we can, every church we can, every sporting event we can. You know, for example, they're out playing soccer and it's, you know, 80, 90 degrees out there. Yeah. And it's not like they can just walk to a Sonic or, you know, go get ice cream. So if we have our trucks there and we're in front of them, you know, it's an easy draw.
And it's a welcoming name. Absolutely. Pop Pop's Italian Ice, you know, like, and I haven't seen your guys' trucks yet, but I'm sure they're very welcoming, you know, and I think it really draws you in. They're like, yeah, that hot day, like, man, Italian Ice sounds fucking nice right now.
Dude. Yeah, I think that's something we've really tried to focus on. You know, there's sketchy ice cream trucks. Everyone's seen sketchy ice cream trucks.
I've seen many.
I don't know if I want to buy from that.
I've seen many, bro.
Yeah, so like our vans, obviously, we spend a lot of money on them. They're a lot more expensive than, you know, a traditional ice cream truck. But we do that for a reason. You know, we want to present a good image, a good brand for ourselves, and we want something that's scalable. You know, if we can get this down at, you know, 1 to 10 units, we can get this down from 10 to 100 units and then just keep pretty much systemizing the whole business as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And really it's called, you know, it's called unit level economics. So it's understanding how much money we're spending on each truck, how much money each truck's going to bring us per month that we add. And I feel like as we keep growing, we understand that a bit more. We understand our numbers a lot more. We understand our brand a lot more. People see the red trucks and they know what to expect. You know, it's just like Dion's, for example, or McDonald's. You know what you're getting whenever you see McDonald's or whenever you see Dion's. It's that quality control. You're getting the same consistency. You're getting the same product. And so we really want to instill that with our trucks too, that, you know, you're going to get the same happy, friendly customer service. You're going to get the same product. You know what to expect, you know, when you go to a Pop Pop's truck. And we want to continue that growth, you know, throughout the United States and throughout, especially the Southwest.
To do the consistency. I mean, that's amazing, bro. And it's crazy that you brought up Dion's. I was going to ask you that because I saw you interview the Dion's founder, right? So, dude, Dion's is, I know a lot of people say what you want about it, but it is a perfect business, bro.
It's incredible.
They have perfected it to a T. And I'm not the biggest fan of Dion's. I don't think it's that good of pizza. But the fact that every time I go to Dion's, even since I was a kid, the pizza tastes the exact same. Wow. The sub sandwiches taste the exact same. They have high schoolers working the fucking kitchen. They have a welcoming environment. You can watch them make your food. You know, it's going to be 100% guaranteed the way it tastes for years to come. And it's truly fascinating, man. Like, how have they perfected that? And like you just said, you know what you're going to get when you go to Dion's. So how was it interviewing the founder of Dion's, man?
Yeah, it was really cool. So the CEO of Dion's, he's not the founder, but the CEO. I interviewed the founder, but the CEO is actually one of my mentors as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And so he's the one that connected me with the founder. It was really cool. You know, that's someone I look up to, especially being a local company. I can relate to a lot.
Yeah,
they've grown huge. I believe they have maybe 27 locations or more now. I love the Dion's brand and just understanding how they implement quality control. I learned a lot about systems from him, employee training, you know, a lot of things I want to implement still going forward. But it was incredible. You know, it's really cool to see. It's something relatable. It's cool to see something like that here in Albuquerque and what it's grown to. It's just inspiring to me that, you know, saying, hey, look, there is opportunity here. This is what you can grow to. I think with Dion, something that they've done very well is they built a really good foundation. They focus on quality control, you know, instead of just selling out to a big company or something like that. They really take pride in their brand. They take pride in their ingredients. They take pride in their training, their employees. Yeah. So that's something I want to instill in my company, you know, as we continue to grow.
Which they could have, man. I mean, they could easily sell that to a big company.
Oh, yeah.
100%. What did he tell you how he founded Dion's?
Yeah, so funny enough, Dion's was actually, their first location was right by El Dorado, too.
Founded. Oh, the one up there by El Patron?
So they didn't have that location. They were in a strip mall. Actually, like, right on the other side of Pop Pop's, essentially.
Okay.
It's weird coincidence, but
that's crazy.
I know they've been around for a while, and it was just him and a buddy. They founded it, and I think they were pretty slow for a while from what I remember. They put a sign out saying $2 slices of pizza and drink or something. And after that, I mean, it just took off. It was insane. That he told me that they were so busy that they were just willing to hire anyone. And one day a girl walked in and said, hey, are you hiring? And he's like, yeah, get in the kitchen right away, start working. Yeah, so they hired her right on the spot, started working. But no, it's really cool to understand their story and understand and see how big they've grown now. You know, one of the big things, and I don't want to talk too much about the inside things they've told me, but
You don't have to.
Just kind of their new manufacturing facility. You know, they took over the old ITS. I don't know if you're familiar with where ITS was.
I do know where ITS is at, yeah.
So that's now part of Dion's headquarters in a manufacturing facility, and it's just really cool to see some of the things that they have planned for the future, and that's coming up.
Man, that's so. Now we talk a little about businesses going under, man. ITS was awesome, dude. It was cool growing up.
ITS was cool.
And I'm so fascinated that it went under. It really is astonishing to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I learned more about business, and I mentioned private equity as well, you know, you understand the statistics a lot more. You know, almost 90% of businesses fell. Outside of that, though, businesses that are around, you know, less than 7% of them do $1 million in revenue. And that might sound like a big number, but you have to understand the profit margin of those. On average, their profit margin is about 7.75%. So if you're doing $1 million in revenue, you're only making $77,000 or $75,000 a year.
Which is...
Especially in the food industry. You know, for restaurants, for example, they average 3 to 5%. So if you're doing $1 million, you're only making $30,000 in profit at the end of the year. So that's... I'm fortunate with my business. You know, we have really high profit margins, so... We don't necessarily need to do a crazy amount of revenue. You know, we have about 30, 35% profit margins.
Wow.
So for example, for a business to do $5 million, we only have to do, you know, a fifth of that to maintain the same profit margin as them.
Which is awesome.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm curious. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't think a lot of owners track their numbers. And I think that's why a lot of businesses suffer as well. They don't truly understand like their cost of goods sold. You know, I break it down to the point where I understand what an ounce of Italian ice is costing us, including the cup, the sticker, the labor, the fuel on our truck, you know, having our truck out. So I think really getting deep on your numbers. And this is something that Jared actually helped me out with. He's a nerd on spreadsheets. I used to always make fun of him, but
hey, it worked, man.
It's helped out my business a lot and just truly understanding your numbers.
So I'm curious, and you don't have to share this if you don't want to. How much does it cost to create like a one thing of Italian ice?
Yeah, so I'll give you the number, but then I'll preface it with helping you understand the expenses that go into it too. So for a cup of Italian ice with the cup itself, the sticker, the labor, and the product, for a small cup, and maybe it cost us 15 cents. Wow. And we sell it for, you know, $5 for a regular cup. And that might sound amazing, that might sound incredible, but you have to understand we have so much expenses involved with that on the back end. You know, we have truck payments, we have insurance. Our insurance alone is almost $3,500 a month.
Wow, really?
Because we have 8 vans and we have young kids driving them, so it's
never mind.
They're expensive vans. You know, we have our overhead of our store. You know, we have rent at our store. You know, we have utilities. Our utility bill in the summer can be $1,500 a month just for,
especially to keep it cold.
Exactly. Yeah. So just kind of give you a rough idea, our set expenses are close to $30,000 to $40,000 a month just to break even, and so. That means we have to be doing very good in the summer revenue to make up for that, because we're not doing $100,000 months in the winter.
In the winter time. Have you guys ever considered like doing like a, I mean, this is just a question for, I'm curious.
Yeah.
But doing like more like a cold dessert at all during like this time?
Yeah. So like doing like hot chocolate, is that?
Maybe something like that.
Yeah. So we do sell that on our trucks. I think the toughest thing is there's not a lot of events going on in winter, regardless of the product you're selling. Really, we're trying to utilize our vans in other ways. You know, if that means taking out our equipment completely and then using those vans repurposed for something else, maybe we cover up the Pop Pop's name and just use those vans really just to pay for themselves.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. What's, have you met the Paletta Bar owner?
Yeah, Depot. Yeah. Depot's actually helped us out a bit, just kind of got into understanding his journey, understanding his story. Super inspiring. You know, Depot's done amazing things with his company, and it's really cool to see what they've done. And how they've grown again. You know, it's a local company, and seeing where they've, grown to.
Now they're like in California and Arizona, right?
Yeah, they're a big company. They franchise a lot of their units. So it's a little bit different business model than what we're going for. But
And you don't want to franchise, right? That's what you said?
Not at the moment. No, okay. Not necessarily. And, you know, maybe the opportunity will come along where it makes sense to. And again, we've had investors. People have approached us wanting to invest in the company. But we've gotten to this point organically, and I feel like what we have going is working.
Yeah.
And we want to keep doing this. You know, we've gotten through the hardest part, you know, the startup phase. We're getting through the startup phase currently still, but we've gotten through the hardest parts of, you know, I think a business goes from 0 to 100,000. That's one stepping point.
Yeah.
100,000 to a million. It's another 1 million to 10 million.
Yeah.
And so like, we're getting through the hardest parts organically. I don't want to bring on investors unless we absolutely have to.
Which is a good milestone to have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it, it brings on a lot of caveats too, because it's, you know, it's very hard to have that money and have that, I guess that patience. You know, it takes a lot longer when you're doing it organically versus, you know, bringing in someone with, here's $1 million, here's a blank checkbook, you know, go buy all the trucks that you need.
We'll figure it out.
So
yeah, that's rough, man. So I'm curious, as not only as, you know, as the host, but as a new friend, I have this thing in the top that says the rest is just as important as the work. So obviously you're a go-getter, you know, you're about the grind, you're about making yourself successful. But how do you keep yourself sane? How do you find rest in all this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if I do. I think, you know, business to me is a sport. You know, I'm passionate about it, and it's a very competitive sport. I think just like, you know, anyone that's a professional athlete or, you know, a high level of an athlete, you're training every single day, but you're passionate about it. You love it. You wouldn't want to be doing anything else. You know, I'll stay up till 1, 2 a.m. all the time. You know, I'm working. I love working. I'm passionate about it. I love improving my company. I love seeing things grow and continuing to grow. You know, I think it's hard to see where I'm at, you know, especially at a young age, just because I'm so focused on the further goal. So it's hard for me to necessarily rest. And don't get me wrong, I love vacationing. I think the gym is rest to me. You know, that's a reset for me.
Yeah, that's a rest. That's what I mean. Where do you find yourself to just like, I don't know, like just release the stress that you have? It doesn't mean going to fucking Cabo and having a great week. I'm talking about like just, you know, normal day-to-day life. Like, where do you find, like you said, meditation, you said the gym, things like that.
I think that's the biggest thing, meditation, the gym, just daily habits, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Atomic Habits, the book.
I am. Sure, Jerry actually got me on it, yeah.
Absolutely. So that was an incredible book, you know, and just really tracking everything too. But implementing good daily habits, you know, when you wake up, you make your bed, start your day off on the right foot, and continuing those good habits throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, those small wins add up, they compound throughout the day. And by the end of the day, you know if you've won or lost the day, if you've done those habits, you know, if you worked out, if you made your bed, if you did what you said you were going to do the previous day today, you know, then it's a win to me.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think, yeah, now at this point, I think it's just sticking to that discipline routine. And I find joy in that. You know, it helps keep me sane, and it's motivating to me. It's inspiring. You know, it's hard for me to take a step back and like see where I'm at because I'm so ambitious.
Yeah.
So it's hard to appreciate where you are because you're so focused on the next thing. But sometimes that downtime gives you time to reflect on where you came from.
Which is good. Absolutely. Which sometimes reflection is like the best way of like understanding your growth. You know, you constantly find yourself like, go, 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 go. And when you look back, you're like, holy shit, man, I have a very successful business. You know, I'm blessed. I have no medical problems. You know, I'm in shape.
Absolutely.
I could travel. You know, like you really have to take a little bit of time to smell the roses, man. You 100%. Really do.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think they just relate happiness to, you know, money, which is ridiculous because it's not at all. Money isn't at all. You know, of course it has benefits and it helps. But, you know, I think now that I'm maturing and getting a little bit older, I understand, you know, how fortunate I am to have my health and fortunate I am to have my family and just the people around me, my friends, my business partners. You know, I'm beyond blessed with the circle that I have, and I value that more than anything.
Yeah, that's a good value to have, man, because sometimes I find myself in the same way. Like, working in the medical industry, I see a lot of people who just shitty issues, man. And I'm like, dude, like, fuck, that's rough, bro. Like, oh, my God, I don't know how to feel about it. And then sometimes I come on to Chelsea and I like explain like what I just like I saw and how I'm feeling, and she'll be like, Ray, like you don't understand like how blessed you are. Absolutely. You know, and it's true. You know, like I also, like I said, I believe in hard work. I believe like a lot of the things that I have right now or a lot of things that I'm doing is because of hard work. But also like, dude, just the fact that we're waking up every day to do this.
Oh, yeah. Bro. No, it's incredible.
It's truly astonishing, man. But, dude, we're about that time, bro. You have any closing thoughts for the listeners?
Not necessarily. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, kind of going back to the advice my mom instilled in me is just, you know, life is 10% what happens, 90% how you react, and, you know, try to react positively as much as you can. Try to find the good in things, try to be optimistic about things. Yeah. You know, your life really isn't that bad. You know, there's people with a lot worse situations that are praying for the downfalls that you have. So, you know, be happy with what you have and make the best out of it.
Well put, man. Well put. Well, dude, thank you for taking time of your day to come and hang out with me on the podcast, bro. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I hope the best for Pop Pop's Italian Ice, dude. I hope to see you guys on a national scale one day, man. Appreciate I want nothing but the blessings for you guys. But I just want to remind everyone to take it easy this summer. It's coming up a little bit. The spring is going good. Go out hanging out with your friends and family. Just take some time to smell the roses, man. All work, no play. Sometimes just relax a little bit. But this is Ray signing off for the People's Cup. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day, man.